Well, if you guys don't know who I am, I'm Natalie. I'm the worship leader here. It's been such a blessing to be able just to worship with you guys. The reality is, honestly, I'm just encouraging you all to praise God. And it's a blessing to be able to see you guys enter into His presence. So thank you for honoring me with that. I want to share a little bit more about myself. Some of you have learned a little bit about me through the couple months that I've been here. But my husband Chris and I have been married for about a year and a half, a little bit more than that. He is actually back in the sound booth, making me sound good today. But we met doing ministry together. He was in the sound booth. He was making everyone sound good up here. And then I was up here on stage trying to sing the right notes and sing the right words. So, yeah. That's a challenge, I'll tell you that. My family's also here today. They're in the second row. Make them feel welcome. My parents and my grandparents. So I was raised in a pastor's home. My dad's a pastor and retired, I guess. We should say that now. Yeah. But it's been such a blessing to be able to be raised by godly parents and by godly grandparents. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I'm standing here today. That God was in our house and it was filled with so much love and so much joy. So thank you for honoring me to show me that way and show me the truth. I also want to thank Pastor Rob and Becca and just for this opportunity to do this. A year ago, after I graduated college, I'm like, no, I'm not going to preach. But then God was like, well, you will someday. And so that's the little joke. But the opportunity for the Ketterlings that they give us to be able to do this and just to be able to share our hearts, it's such a blessing. And also for you, Pastor Mark, giving me that opportunity too. It's huge. You barely know me and you're putting me up here. Thanks for trusting me. Yeah, so that's a little bit about me, a little bit about my family. I want to jump into the story about Peter and John in Acts 4. So if you want to turn to that, I'm going to set it up a little bit. The story begins really in Acts 3, where they are going out, they're preaching the word, and they come upon a lame man. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, they heal that man and he can walk. And crowds experience that presence and they experience the miracle that happens and they want to learn more. So they're continually gathering and gathering, and the Sadducees and the leaders of the church, they were worried that there was going to be a riot. So they arrested them. And the next day, we're going to go into verse 5 of chapter 4 in Acts. And it says, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had sent them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And this is powerful. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. The title of my sermon today is Boldness, faith over fear in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much that you bring boldness to us every day. I pray that as I am sharing what you've put in my heart, I'm sharing the words that you've put in my heart, God, that you would continually speak through me, that you would speak through these words, and that they would penetrate every single person's heart here today, that they would feel the continued confidence and boldness that you can give all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to share a story, many stories about me, but mostly this is going to be about my childhood and where I started from. And I did not start with boldness. I was the child that would run away if you called my name in church, and I would hide behind my dad's legs. There was even one time where I hid behind another man's legs. I looked up and I was terrified. But I would not say a word to anyone. I was the quiet child. But my sister, she was the bold one with the loud voice. She was born with the boldness. A little bit of a story. We were having a birthday party when we lived in Missouri. And we all had this twang going on. With being a pastor's kid, you move all around. So at that moment, we were country kids. And I was the one that was tall and lanky. I had really long arms, really long legs. I didn't know what to do with it. And she was this short, adorable, loud, buff child. Yes. Yeah. She's younger than me too. So I guess you should expect that I should have the boldness being the oldest sister, but no, she had the boldness. And for some reason we were playing a game and I was supposed to move a chair out of the way. And she said, "Natalie, you need to move that chair." And with all of her little tininess, she picked up an adult-sized plastic chair and just chucked it across the lawn. So that's the story of me not being bold and my sister being bold. But my boldness grew when I learned who God was. So boldness is defined as willingness to take risks, to be confident, or to have courage. It is a calling for courage, a daring, a bold plan. When we look at our main scripture in Acts, we see how Peter took a risk to speak out in front of leaders and elders. He was risking his life to speak. I like to imagine this as if we were in a courtroom and putting ourselves in Peter's shoes. Maybe we didn't know who God was, and we were having to speak to jurors and a judge, and we had to speak against having our life taken. Think about how terrifying that would be. But Peter had God on his side. He had the truth and he had the evidence. And he spoke with authority and boldness because he had the evidence of what God had done. He spoke with authority because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke with boldness because God was in his life. Now, sometimes we place our family, our friends, or the people that we could be ministering to as jurors. We feel the need to convince them that Jesus is real, but the proof is already there when we have boldness. We were called to be bold. We were called to be bold to proclaim the gospel. Jesus was clear in Mark 16:15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." We were called to be bold to pray for miracles. Jesus says in Matthew 17:20, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Paul also encourages us in Hebrews 4:16. He says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Amen. We were also called to be bold to defend the word of God. There's a story in Acts 13. Paul and Barnabas defended the word of God as Jews struggled to understand the authority of God's word to everyone. And it says in verse 44, "On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw crowds, they were filled with jealousy. they began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. It's so beautiful when we have that boldness and we can speak truth coming from the Bible. We need to have that boldness and we need to spend time studying the word. So now we understand why we need the boldness, but how can we receive that boldness that Peter, that Paul, that John, and that Barnabas had? Well, I have two opportunities for us to learn how to receive boldness today. Number one, in order to have boldness, we need to spend time with God, simply. Peter spent time with Jesus. He traveled, he ate, and he lived with Jesus for 3 years. He knew who Jesus was, and he learned him through trial and error, as we learn a lot. He asked too many questions. God is patient with him. But he could proclaim who Jesus was because he knew him. When we spend time with someone, we can confidently talk about that person. So let's think about, okay, we've dated people before. I know some of you students have not, which is okay. We can take time with that. Yes, amen. That's right. All the parents say. Well, when you spend a ton of time with people or when you're dating another person, think about when I was dating Chris, I knew so much about him and we learned so much about each other. We wanted to talk to each other all the time. But then when we were away from each other, we could confidently talk about each other and we wanted to do it all the time. We wanted to share about how much we liked this person or how much we were in love with this person. And that's how we can be when we spend time with Jesus. When we spend all that time with him, we can confidently and boldly talk about him. And because the word is living and breathing, because our Bible is living and breathing, it brings us joy and it brings us life when we spend time in the word and we spend time with him. Peter was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 8 of Acts 4, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders.'" He at first was filled and then he spoke boldly. That's something that I want you to understand today, that sometimes when we start speaking and we don't have the boldness of the Holy Spirit, sometimes our words are lost. But when we have that boldness and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, people are listening and God is working through that moment. So I want to encourage all of you, if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you have not asked for that infilling, to ask for it. God will give that to you, especially when you spend time with him. When you know God, you can ask for it, and he will give it to you. When I was age 8, I was at camp, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that experience transformed my life. There have been many times when I've wavered in my Christian walk, but I know whenever I am speaking my tongues and I'm speaking that language and I'm confidently spending time with God and spending time in his presence, there is so much peace and so much confidence that I can have. When I was learning the piano, I struggled a lot. And it was at my parents' church, and I was put up there, I was still learning, and what you can do with the piano, especially if it's a digital piano, you can transpose it by buttons and different buttons. If you don't know about this as a music person, if you're not a music person, just follow me, it's okay. But it was nice because I could just play one thing the entire time and play in just one key, and I wouldn't have to worry about changing the key per se. I would just have to hit the buttons per song and I would change it. And that's how I was learning. But we found out during a worship set that it was broken. So what happened? We were playing. Thankfully, it was like the beginning song, and it was during a meet and greet section. It completely just crashed on me, and I started playing in a completely wrong key. It sounded absolutely terrible. It did not work with it at all. So thankfully, my father was like, "Oh, I know what to do," and he runs up there and saves the day. But I was bawling and bawling and bawling. And in that moment, I asked God. I said, "God, help me get through this." In that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was able to boldly and confidently get through the rest of that worship set. Thankfully, and God was right there in that moment. And there are so many times when I step on this stage, and I'm like, "God, I don't have this. It's not in me." And He just fills me with the Holy Spirit. And I can step on here boldly today. Our second point. In order to have boldness, we need to have faith in God. Isn't that simple? We just need to spend time with Him, and then we need to have faith. When I was a little girl, I struggled sleeping. I always felt like there was something icky, something dark in my room. And I would run to my mom, and I would say, "Mom, I can't fall asleep." So she would, all the time, she probably hated it, waking up, going to my room, and helping me fall asleep. I learned now that that was Satan destroying my sleep. That was Satan destroying the opportunity to relax and to be able to have slumber and have the energy to get up. Because of that, my mother recognized that. She recognized that there was a darkness, that Satan was there to prevent me from being able to sleep. And she said to me one day, "Next time you're sleeping and you can't, and you wake up, or you're just feeling like you can't fall asleep and you have fear, just say Jesus' name." And from then on, every time I struggle, every time, even this day and age, when I feel like Satan is trying to destroy this, I can say Jesus' name, and I can say it boldly and confidently, and I know he disappears. Satan just completely disappears from that room. But that's because I have faith. And Jesus is my strength in that fear and in that anxiety. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." When we say Jesus, the devil disappears. When we declare his name, the mountains shake. We have the power right here within us. Boldness comes from that name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's say it with me now. In the name of Jesus. Isn't that powerful? Moses' journey to becoming bold was about him being faithful to God. In Exodus 3:4, we learn about the calling that Moses had. And God called him from a burning bush, and he brought many, many miracles to help convince Moses, "Hey, you are the guy." He doubted it. He was scared of it, I think. And he thought, "No, I'm not the guy." But what God saw was Moses' faithfulness to him. Paul talks about this in Hebrews 11:24-26, saying, "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned." With Moses' faith, he moved forward in boldness to do as God asked. And that boldness starts with faith. God saw a man that could lead an entire nation out of Egypt. Moses didn't see that, but God did. So Moses kept his eyes fixed on God as he went, and miracle after miracle happened because Moses stayed faithful. He could walk by faith with boldness to do the things God asked of him. I experienced a similar story of this, not leading an entire nation out of Egypt, but God was sending me to a completely different culture, to Alaska. This was about 8 years ago, which essentially this long story ended me up here, which is such a blessing. I didn't know why I was being called. I knew that Alaska had been in my heart for a while. I knew that missions had been in my heart for a while, and God said, okay, this is your time. But my thoughts, my parents' doubts, my grandparents' doubts were ringing through my mind as I was preparing for these trips. I could be eaten by bears. I could fall into an ice crevasse. Like, truly, these are things that happen in Alaska. I could be trampled by a moose. I couldn't lead mission teams. No one would believe me and no one would follow me. I continued to doubt why I was supposed to go. But like Moses, my faith in God kept my focus and I could go boldly, knowing God would have my back the entire time. And eventually, because I trusted in God and my faith in him, and my boldness, God allowed me to facilitate 19 teams in 2.5 months. It blows me away how this happened. It's just, God was right there beside me because I could not have done that by myself. And he planned it. It's just amazing. I will say there are going to be moments where there are Satan's lies. And sometimes our fear can become louder the more we try to be bold. That fear is not from God. That fear is from Satan, and Satan is a liar. We need to recognize this. John 8:44, Jesus says, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning. He has never been truthful. He doesn't know what the truth is. Whenever he tells a lie, he's doing what comes naturally to him. He is a liar and the father of lies." Satan is trying to destroy us in the very things that God is doing. Satan may say to you, "You aren't smart enough for that. You can't lead very well. You're too young. You're too old. It's too hard to learn. They will laugh at you. They won't be friends with you anymore. No one will believe you. Why would you even want to do that? Do you really think that's from God?" I don't know if there's moments that you've felt those words, but I've felt every single one of them. Satan wants to destroy. John 10:10, Jesus says this of Satan, "A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So that reality is that God speaks truth and he speaks life into us abundantly. Here are some things that God is saying that's truth. He is saying, "You are my child. We are called children of God continually." John 1:12 and 13 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God." God is saying, "I chose you." John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." God is saying, "I care about you." Matthew 10:30-31, "But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows." God is saying, "You are my dear friend." John 15:15 says, "I no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have
made known to you.
God says you are forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is saying, I love you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God says, you can do all things through me. I will carry you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, which means do not fear. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. God is saying, trust in me. Believe. Mark 9:23 says, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And finally, not last, but strongly, God is saying, I called you to be bold. Do not be afraid, be strong. He says this in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you for wherever you go. Those words are the truth from God. They give us the boldness to step out and pray for miracles. They give us the boldness to step out and defend the word of God. They give us the boldness to step out and share Jesus with the world. When we spend time with God and have faith in him, that is when our boldness happens. Simply spending time with him and having faith in him. These are small acts that we can do to step closer to God and spend time with him. And boldness occurs when that happens. So let's have the boldness that Peter had in Acts. Let's have the boldness that Moses had in Egypt. Let's have the boldness that Paul had with the early church. So I want to encourage you right now, if you want boldness right now, let's stand up. Everyone, stand up. That should be all of us. We all want boldness in Jesus' name. And I want to practice this today. I want to practice by spending time in God's presence and asking for boldness. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to close right now. But if you want to raise your hands, open your hands up to God and just close your eyes and pray to him to ask for boldness and ask God to speak to you in ways to have boldness. So let's pray. God, help us to have the boldness that you have called us to. Help us to be inspired by the story of Peter, to be inspired to speak out the name of Jesus in fear, to be inspired to know that you are right there beside us. You are speaking truth in our lives, and we can step out in that boldness to share the gospel. We trust that you have big plans for us. We trust that you have the boldness that you've called us to. God, there is no greater honor than to be bold for you. In the name of Jesus, help us to be bold. In the name of Jesus, amen.